hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Okay, thank you, Brother Larry. So, good morning. I'm happy to be here this day, and of course, it's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord, to worship our God. And I'm going to start with Psalm 150. And Psalm 150, 1 and 2 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. And that's just an opening of praising our God. You know, we have to praise him in all we do. Our brother, Larry, well, I want to bring greetings and love from your brothers and sisters at the East Local. And my brother Larry, he called me a few weeks ago and asked me to preach. And I always want to serve my God. You know, I've been called to serve him. It's only my third sermon. The first two were at the East Local where I go. And it's a comfort zone to be there. And so traveling somewhere was a little... just my natural being, I'm a little nervous. But then I started thinking, you know, who is in Collins but my brothers and sisters, you know, that love us. And even then I started thinking of all the people here. Besides just everyone, it was, you know, Sharon and Paul, Jewel and Larry are from Independence. I grew up with their children. And I fellowshiped with them I remember when Paul and Sharon moved here 40 years ago, I think, probably, because their daughter Amy was in my 8th grade math class. So I can remember, and I counted back, I'm thinking, I think that's about 40 years ago. And then I always remember Alan and Zerna coming to conference and reunion, and hearing Zerna's beautiful voice, beautiful, soothing voice. And, you know, Shauna and Dale have... something in common with me and Becky. You know, they have a little grandson in Phoenix. We have a little granddaughter in Phoenix. And it's a blessing that they are, even though we want them here, it's a blessing that they're in Phoenix with a church family that can, and it's just wonderful. And our sister Margie is actually a relative of mine. You know, we are like maybe third cousins. And our brother Jack that was here, brother Jack I would always remember when he would come to conference and reunion, he'd see me and he'd smile and say, hi, cousin, you know, and you know, what a blessing, what a blessing. And I knew I would meet get to see Peach and meet Vicky and Al and our brother here. And so I'm just so happy to be here today and comforted that, I mean, it's even better now than as I was thinking about it. I thought, you know, there's all these people that I know, so it'll be good. But it had been a long time since I've been here. I was a little kid, and so it's a blessing to be here. So I would ask you an interest in your prayers that God might guide me in the things that I say this day. And I'm going to start with, let's turn to James. And it's James, the first chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 22, James 1, 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. But pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So this morning, I'm going to title my sermon, Be Ye a Doer of the Word. I've chosen this as my, I'm the Sunday school superintendent in Independence, and every year we do a challenge. And this year, the challenge, the East Local Sunday School Challenge is to be a doer of the word. Last year, it was to be an example. Be a good example. Let your light shine. So how do we let our light shine but be that doer of the word? And I looked up the definition of a doer, and it is a person who acts rather than merely talking and thinking. So we must be a doer. Do the things that are pleasing to our God. We must show others our love by the things that we do in our lives. So what do we need to do to be a doer of the word? I think the first thing we need to do is to study the scriptures, to know what the word is, and to pray to God for that understanding so that we can be that example to others of God's love. So, you know, it's so important that we read the scriptures, that we pray to God so he'll give us that understanding. So let's turn to 2 Timothy. And this is chapter 3. And I'm going to start 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the man of God, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." So we must have those good works. We must pray to God for discernment. We must study the scriptures and be a doer of the word. We must, if we can, bring our scriptures to church and follow along with the preacher. You learn so much more. I mean, probably the last 10 years at least, I've done that. But before, I was a good hearer. You know, I grew up in the church, listened a lot. But there's so many things that if you follow along and if you pray to God for that discernment to know so that we can, you know, take notes and study at home so that we can more thoroughly serve our Lord. And so are we doers of the word? When we see somebody in need, do we have that attitude to help them, to encourage them? Do we act upon this as being doers, or do we get busy with our day-to-day life and forget? I know we all have good intentions. We all want to do good. We all have compassion for others. But it's so easy that we, at that moment, we remember them and we say, you know, I'll send them a card. I'll give them encouragement. But then, you know, we have our work. We have all the things that are in our lives that distract us. So we must be that doer. We must do the things that God wants us to. And let's turn to Mosiah, page 220. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. It was one of my father-in-law's favorite scriptures. And I think all of us, when you say turn to the second chapter of Mosiah, second chapter, page 220, everybody knows it. But it's such a good scripture here. And I'm going to start with 9. It says, I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and have matchless power, his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be a diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby men can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. And this is where we usually always start. On 13 it says, believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. So there it is. Be a doer of the word. And I'll continue on 18. It says, and again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such an exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. Now I'm going to continue here. Normally I end with that, you know. But we have more to learn here in the scripture. 24 says, and ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is due. And ye will not suffer that your children, that they go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our Father, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will administer of your substance unto them that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain, and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand. I will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold, are we all not beggars? Do we not all depend on the same being? Even God for our substance, which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind. And behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for the remission of your sins. And hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he hath poured out his spirit upon you, and hath caused that your heart should be filled with joy, and hath caused that your mouth should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance. So exceeding great was your joy. And now if God who hath created you, on whom you are dependent of your lives, and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever you ask, that is right in faith, believing that ye shall receive, oh then, how had ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have one to another? And if ye judge the man that putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perisheth not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation for the withholding of your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. And yet ye put up no petition, nor repenteth not of the things which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto those who are rich, as pertaining to those things of the world. Again I say unto the poor, ye that have not and yet have sufficient, that ye remain day to day, I mean all you that deny the beggar, because ye have not. I would that you say in your hearts that I give not because I have not, but if I had, I would give. So everybody, we must have that charity, and we must have that love to all in all we do. And now if you say this in your hearts, you remain guiltless. Otherwise you are condemned, and your condemnation is just. For ye covet that which ye have not received. And now for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of the retaining the remission of your sins from day to day, that you may walk guiltless before God. I would that you should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually, temporally, according to their wants. And see that all these things are done in wisdom and in order. For it is not requisite that a man should run faster than what he has strength. And again, is it expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize? Therefore, all things must be done in order. So we must. I work in Kansas City, and on every corner, there's a beggar. You know, there's somebody out there, and it's hard. It's hard to know, is this person just out there for a day-to-day job? You know, I'll say, I bet they make more money than I make, you know, because here they are on the corner. But so we must. But I've just lately made it a habit that I pray for these people. That every person I see and say, if they're here for good reasons, they're, please bless them. Please bless them anyway. If they're here for bad reasons, they need to be blessed. But we must be charitable. We must have that charity. We cannot judge, but we must seek God for the wisdom in helping others, you know, so that we can do what's right. At Christmas time, Sue Brickhouse got a group of us together to go to the homeless shelter and feed at a men's shelter. And I I work part-time at Macy's, and I had a I was supposed to work that night, and I thought, you know, should I make money for myself or should I go and do something that's good? And so I got somebody to take my job, and it's nothing for me here, but I was a little apprehensive going too. You know, it's like, what's this going to be like? You know, in my mind, you know, hoping. But we got there and we helped these people. We served them. And everyone was thankful. You know, most of them were like, God bless you. And so what joy it brings when you give to others, what joy it brings to us. And I'm going to read from, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, another familiar scripture. It says, and 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And self-explanatory there, you know, that charity. I remember, I don't know if this was their favorite scripture, but when I was dating my wife, and we've been married almost 33 years in another couple of weeks, but when we were dating, somebody had said, what's your favorite scripture? And she said that was her favorite scripture. So I always remember there, that in my mind, that's my wife's favorite scripture. So probably from 35 years ago there. So we must have that charity. Let's turn to 1 John. And this is 1 John, the second chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 3, and it says, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. And so we must abide with our Lord. We must walk as he walked and be doers of the word and follow his commandments in all that we do. So I'd like to turn to Alma. Alma chapter 6. It's on page 325. So Alma chapter 6, and I'm going to start with the 38th verse. And it says, and now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you, that I might awaken you to your sense of duty to God, that you may walk blameless before him, that you may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God. at all times. We must be diligent, asking for whatsoever things ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do receive. And see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then you will always abound in good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that you may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as your garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit, which testifieth in me. And my soul doth exceedingly rejoice because of the exceeding diligence and heed which ye have given unto my word. So we must give that diligence unto the word and be a doer of the word. We must have that charity, and we must always abound in good works. Let's turn to 1 Peter. And that Mosiah chapter, that was a long, long one. I don't have any more that are that long. So 1 Peter 4. And I'm going to start with 8. And it says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So our goal in life should be to be a doer of the word, to glorify and praise God in everything we do. You know, I'm saying be a doer of the word, be a doer of the word, but we must be do the things that are pleasing under God. And let's turn to Moroni, page 768. So Moroni, chapter 7, and I'm going to start with verse 50, and it says, "And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he hath not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it in the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of the Son of Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen." And so, once again, charity, being a doer. And last week, I did a priesthood, or about a week and a half ago, I did a priesthood visit with my brother, Bob Oldham, and we went to a brother and sister's house, and most of it was my first priesthood visit. And so Bob had said, "Okay, we're just going to go, we're just going to visit, And then why don't you have a scripture and I'll have a scripture, but mainly just fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And so so we went, and it happened that one of the scriptures, and actually it was Bob's scripture, was James 1:22, which is, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So I have, since that's my Sunday school challenge, I had decided that I'm going to start at the East Local a doers group. And so I'm telling our brother and sister, you know, and Bob, of this thing I'm going to start, that once a month we get together and that we figure out things we can do to help others, that we can, you know, visit others. And when I said visit, the sister of ours said, "Oh, David, don't make me visit somebody." And so I assured her, I said, you know, I wouldn't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. I was you might look at me now and think, boy, he talks a lot. But when I was a little kid and when I was a young adult, even when Larry and Jewel will know that probably 5 years ago when I started being the Sunday school superintendent, I was petrified. You know, I had this, I never wanted to read aloud. I had that fear. I just had this inner fear. But God has helped me. God has, you know, he's blessed us with different talents. And he's blessed me that I can sing. And I could sing, but I couldn't talk, you know. And so when I was called to be an elder, I knew it was God's will. I knew it was right. But I just had to trust in God that he would be with me, and he has blessed me. And so, but I assured my sister that she would not have to visit anybody. That I said, maybe you can write a card to somebody. Send an email, you know, say something good. So that was fine, and we went on. Well, then when we went to leave, my sister came up to me and she said, "David, I will do anything you want me to do, even visit somebody." And so I think of that as a blessing. What a blessing. You know, each one of us, if we can, you know, we must be doers of the word. And we can do it in different things. Maybe we can't overcome that shyness or that, I mean, and my wife can attest that, I mean, I knew this was going to happen someday. You know, I was going to be, and I wanted to serve the Lord, but I thought, I will be sick every day. And the Lord has blessed me. You know, this week, I was getting ready for my sermon, and I had this assurity that things were ready, that he blessed me. But then yesterday, I was like second guessing. I said, "Okay, you know what? I haven't like practiced. I haven't, you know, done this. That, you know, I'm going to get up there. I'm going to be nervous and what I'm going to do." But the Lord blesses us. He blesses us in all. And so I want to turn to Joshua. Joshua 1. And I'm going to start with verse 8. And it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And here, this verse is it. It says, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And we need to know in everything we do, God is with us. You know, God is with us in everything we do. You know, he gives us the talents. Like I said, you know, I still get nervous when I sing, but he blesses us. You know, he blesses us through all, you know. And when we praise him, he blesses us even more. I mean, he blesses us in everything we do. But we must pray to him, and we must trust in him and to let him lead us in our lives, because with God, everything is possible. So we must just trust in God. So today I brought a visual aid here, I'll call it, and it's just something simple. So what I have here, I just have a sponge, this dry, rough sponge, you know how, little pliable, not too, you know, doesn't do much. But this represents us in our lives by ourselves. You know, here we are, we're this sponge, just living our lives for ourselves, doing what we want to do. So then I brought this bowl, and I have some water. And this water here, I think, represents our communication to God. You know, as we pray to God, as we study the scriptures, as we learn of his goodness, as we do his good will, do his work. So I'm going to put this sponge that is just us, this dry sponge, you put it in here. And as you pray to God, as you study the scriptures, you know, you are filled with his love. You're filled with the joy and the love of God. And it doesn't end there. When you're filled with that love, what do you need to do? You need to pour out that love. So that love pours out to all those. As we are charitable, as we do our goodwill to God, for God, trust in him and let him lead us. And it's just continual. It's a continual cycle. And so just a little thing that, you know, we can be this sponge. So which would we rather be? Would we rather be this stiff-necked sponge that just does our own thing? Or would we love to have the love of God that he might fill us with that joy? You know, as we give to others, as we do his will, as we trust in him, we are filled with his love. And you know, in our day-to-day life, you know, at work, wherever we're at, you know, give that kindness, give that smile to others, and show that love of God. Let me see where I'm at here. Okay, so if you can turn in your red book, because I am a singer, I always like to read the words of a song, and there's so many. If you read the words in the hymnal of every song you pick, if you read the words, they are so good, and praise our God, and give us a lesson. So turn to 162. And 162 is a familiar song, and it's just dare to do right. And I'll read the verses. It says, dare to do right, dare to be true. You have a work that no other can do. Do it so bravely, so kindly, so well. Angels will hasten the story to tell. Second verse says, dare to do right, dare to be true. Other men's failures can never save you. Stand by your conscience, your honor, your faith. Stand like a hero and battle till death. And the third verse, dare to do right, dare to be true. God who created you cares for you too. Treasures the tears that his striving once shed. Counts and protects every hair on your head. You know, he protects us. He's our protector in all that we do in our lives. Verse 4, dare to do right, dare to be true. Keep the great judgment day always in view. Look at your work as you'll look at it then. Scanned by Jehovah and angels and men. And then the last verse, dare to do right, dare to be true. Jesus, your Savior, will carry you through. City and mansion and throne all in sight. Can you not dare to be true and do right? Angels will hasten the story to tell. Dare to do right, dare to be true. Dare to be true. And so let's dare. Let's dare to do the things that are right. you know, to be an example to others. Let's now turn to Matthew chapter 7. And it's verse 24, I'll start with. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which has built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And so, you know, we must have that strong foundation. We must study the scriptures. We must do the things that are right. We must trust in God. And so we want to, that's another scripture that we all know, you know, of the, if we're built on that strong foundation, or so that when trials come, we can be strong and we can trust in the Lord and we can be strong in our faith. And we must follow his commandments so that we are prepared to withstand the trials in our lives. Now we're going to turn to Galatians 6. And I'm going to start with verse 3. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But if every man prove his own work, and then shall have he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." So again, we must do good. We must seek God. We must have charity. We must let the Spirit lead us that we may have life everlasting. So one more scripture, which is Mosiah 3 on page 225. And it's one verse here. So Mosiah 3, verse 21 says, "Therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that ye may have everlasting salvation and eternal life, through the wisdom and the power and the justice and the mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen." And that happened to be, that was my scripture that I brought to that priesthood visit that night. You know, we must be steadfast. We must abound in good works. We must be a doer of the word. So when we look at the word of God, we must look at it with an eye of putting the word into practice in our lives. Listening to the word, knowing what it said is not enough if our lives are not changed by the result. For if we only hear the word of God and never put it into practice, we have deceived ourselves. So we must put that word into practice. You know, we can study and listen, but if we keep it to ourselves, just do our own thing, then we're deceiving ourselves. So we must always abound in good works. As James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And I'm going to end here with a poem. And you'll probably know what the title is because it's Be a Doer. And it says, be a doer of the word, read your scriptures, and then act. Don't just be a gospel hearer. You must give something back. You can lend a helping hand or give someone else your ear. Let everyone know that you will be a friend who is always near. Pray for those who ask you to, and more so for those who don't. Pray for their eternal salvation, because you know that they won't. Look for the good in others. Most people only see the bad. Let them know Jesus loves them and doesn't want them feeling sad. There's so much that we can do to help other people out. All we have to do is ask them what their worries are all about. I don't always have the answers, but I know just where to look. For truth, the way, and the light are written in the good book. So I hope I brought you something today. I praise the Lord and thank him for blessing me to be able to speak to you. I thank you for your love, I'll have to come back and see you more. And I ask that you might continue to pray for me in my ministry, that everything I do will be for God, that he might lead me in whatever path I need. And my prayers are always with you. So thank you very much.
We got ice cream and something else for us right here, desserts. So we're eating. We're all up there. Lights are all right here. We're all eating our ice cream. We're looking around. Where's Eli? When did you see him last? Well, he was down there. He was there. He was on the rope. He's not here? No. I went down. My flashlight. I found him. He's at the end. I said, Eli, we're done. You can come on up. No! Beautiful. Just beautiful. That's Paul. That's the duty. That's what it looks like. That's what it's got to be. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Well, just you, Paul? You're the only one going to get it? He said, not just me, but all those who love the Lord and his coming. And so we've got that. We've got that faith. We've got that belief that Jesus, like I said there in the first verse right here, he's coming back. And if we have our hearts are our pure pattern, we want to see the Lord. He's our deliverer. He's the one that I've been waiting for. He's the one that I have been fighting for all of this time. That I've been all of this ordeal right here of struggling and repenting and turning to God and getting out of the muck and finding that straight path and fighting with everything I've got. Doing my duty. And there is that promise that we will be with him. He made that promise. And that promise is all those that love his appearing. The love of the Lord. God bless you. That's just a little 8 verses out of your Bible. And I want to tell you right here, the rest of the book is just as good. God bless every one of you.